Hi, everyone. Welcome to PA Talks. In this episode, we have Julia Corner in our office. She's an award-winning Austrian designer working in the convergence of architecture, product, and fashion design. She's internationally recognized for design innovation in 3D printing. Focusing on her collaborations, she worked closely with Ruth Carter to create 3D printing costumes for movies like Marvel's Black Panther, which recently earned an Oscar for Best Costume Design. In our conversation, we delve into the exciting world of 3D printing, fashion, and exploring possibilities and challenges of this cutting-edge technology. Join us as we learn from Julia's experiences, insights, and her fascinating work in this constantly evolving field. Now let's get into the conversation. Welcome to our office, Julia. Thank you so much for joining.
Thanks for having me, and nice to meet you in person here in Istanbul. I followed your platform for a while, and I have seen many great things, and so it's exciting to meet you in person and have a good conversation.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Our audience who don't know about Julia Corner, can you tell us who's Julia Corner and what does she do?
I'm an architect and I work in various different disciplines. I work between product design, fashion design, and architectural installations. I think the background in architecture really allows me to work cross-disciplinary and bring the kind of ideas of generative design, computational design, and parametric design into these disciplines and kind of open new ideas in there.
Tell us a little bit about your background and how did you become an architect and then switching from architect being a fashion designer?
So I studied at the University of Applied Arts in Vienna with Greg Lehnl for about 4 years. Before that, I studied at the University of Technology in Vienna, and then I switched to the Angewandte. That was a really great time because during that time, there was Zaha Hadid, Wolf Pricks from Kopimoblau, and...
So this is early in 2000s?
Yes. It was like I started there around 2005 and graduated from the Angewandte in 2009. And it was a really great time to be there because it was the beginning of generative tools, the beginning of using 3D printing as prototyping in architecture for making models. It was a great time. And then while I was a student at the Angewandte, I started working with Ross Lovegrove. So he came for a review and he invited me to London to work with him. And so every time I was on a break or the school had a break, I would be in London, work there with him. And I overall worked with him even after graduation for 3 years, but in total 5 years, and was very much part of bringing architectural design processes into product design. So he was very interested in like bringing parametric design techniques into the process of working using architectural tools to emphasize product designs. And so I worked with him on many different scales, anything from a perfume bottle to lights for Artemida to installation visions in an architectural scale. Then I went to the United States. I got the Max Schindler Scholarship, which allowed me to be for 6 months in Los Angeles. And I did a research into the biodiversity of California. In the beginning, I actually didn't like Los Angeles very much because everything is based on the car. You have to go everywhere with the car. And I was really interested in like studying the mathematical understructures of systems. And I felt limited in that way in terms of the tools. So I decided to do a second master at the Architectural Association in London, where I also met my partner, Kai Salvavi. We did a lot of projects together at the AA, and we did a very interesting thesis dissertation on cellular complex systems, where we learned like all these different tools, terms of like biomimicry and understanding the underlying mathematical logics of natural systems, which is a huge inspiration for me working with nature. And then I got the opportunity to teach at UCLA in 2012 and moved to Los Angeles.
What was this time unique, like after coming back from London to LA, that just made you change your mind to stay there longer?
Well, it was Greg Lehnl invited me to teach with him at UCLA. So I was actually having a full-time academic position at the UCLA. And I think that just changed the environment. It was the beginning of Tupro Studio, it was called. We had two large-scale Cooker robotic arms in the facilities. We were doing very exciting work with the students. We were having collaborations and partnerships with Boeing and with Cirque du Soleil. And this kind of experience of working with the students and with Greg really changed my way of thinking about Los Angeles. And also, I think because my partner also came with me to Los Angeles, it was really exciting to experience that in a different way. And what was also great was just being in LA.
Like the art district of the country. Yeah.
Exactly. But then at the same time, also how you're then all in a sudden perceived from the European kind of point of view or from Austria, it became very interesting for Austrians because I was in LA. And so many new open opportunities happened in Europe at the same time. So back to your question, like how did I then start working in fashion and product design? More. While I was working with Ross Lovegrove in London, I had the opportunity to work with many 3D printing companies and made really great contacts and connections. Also, my thesis was all about biomechatronic research, so the human body. My thesis was at the Angewandte, was actually called Superhuman Enticement. And so it was all about this kind of paradigm change of prosthesis and kind of the implementation of additive manufacturing. So I made myself kind of in this area, I made myself a name as an expert in 3D printing techniques and design for this. And when Iris van Herpen was very interested in doing 3D printed fashion, she first worked with Daniel Widrig and Isaiah Bloch, and then she reached out to me, and I kind of, while I was still at the AA, did my first collaboration with her.
That's nice.
In London, and she was in Amsterdam.
Iris is also kind of a unique character. She's always collaborating with these amazing pioneers of computational and fashion designer to create like fantastic designs, present them as the unique artwork and human body.
Totally, yeah. And I think that kind of opened a lot of doors in the fashion world for me because other companies saw these collaborations. And then in 2015, I collaborated with Marina Hermanns Eder on a couple of pieces. Nike invited me for a workshop, and I worked with the oldest embroidery house in Paris with Maison Lesange and Chanel on designing an entirely 3D printed collection. So a lot of new things turned out to be opportunities in this field. And so kind of allowed me to be a pioneer in that way of like bringing architectural design processes
into fashion,
into a different discipline.
Different product, fashion, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You also collaborated with companies like Materialize, Stratasys. They also working on the using of 3D printing in much more innovative, like unique materials. How do you see the future of this fashion design? And also, you've been involved in the Netflix show, The Future of Fashion. How do you think the future of fashion will be integrating with 3D printing and much more eco-friendly, let's say, products in the future?
Well, one thing what I find very exciting about the scale of fashion, not only the kind of interaction with the body. I mean, there's a huge history about the relationship between architecture and the body as kind of the smallest scale of architecture. Mm-hmm. When you look at several different architects or even theorists, they wrote a lot about design and in a smaller scale. It has the technology of the 3D printing is so advanced in a smaller scale, much more than on the bigger scale. So you can do a lot of more complex geometries. You have the opportunity to do very interesting and intricate geometries, which you cannot yet do on a larger scale. So I see it almost like a small scale exploration of what we potentially in the future can do on a larger scale in architecture.
Right.
And besides that, so that is one part which I find really interesting. The other one is what you just mentioned is about the sustainable aspect, because it enables us to work with materials which are sustainable, like biodegradable materials, plant-based materials, and we can kind of realize products on location, on demand with the 3D printing technology. So wherever you have the machine on location, you can produce the product and you can eliminate international shipping. So as a kind of pilot project, what we are doing right now, we have one atelier in Los Angeles and one in Vienna. And we have launched a new brand, JK3D, with what we are selling products, accessories, and home decor.
So these are commercialized products that normal people can buy.
Exactly. And
like I've seen one of your products, the purse, which was 3D. Oh my God. Right here.
I brought one with me. This is the high clutch.
And can I just check it?
Sure.
Oh, that's amazing. It's sort of transparent.
Yes, this is the transparent version. We call it the high clutch.
Can I open it?
Eyes, yes. You have to press one side down, yes. So it has a pocket inside, the hinge, the clasp. Even the little connection for the strap you see in the corner is all 3D printed where the metal strap connects.
And so I assume this was two-piece 3D printing.
Two-piece, yes. You could print it already in one piece, like if you print it with an SLS technology. However, for us, it was really important to produce the product in-house to really do everything from design to production in our ateliers. And then if somebody in the US orders it, it's being produced and made on demand in Los Angeles. And if someone in the European region orders it, it's being produced in Vienna. And so with that, we kind of really set the pilot project. We can eliminate the shipping between the US and Europe. And
almost all over the world, like when you have business in these two places, you can just ship anywhere in the world.
One thing which is really crucial, I mean, architecture and fashion is one of the biggest polluters of this world. It's the two industries which need the lowest rethinking. And with this kind of rethinking of urban manufacturing, like rethinking how we produce and where we produce and allowing us to not be limited to local productions which only work with materials which are available locally, but we can work with materials which are sourced from many different places. And with renewable materials, it allows us to produce innovative design, which is sometimes combining traditional and computational design. But I think one factor which we really want to push is also the certain aesthetical aspect.
Just looks really beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, so the high clutch, we have it in multiple colors, in white, black.
Do you have any other products, like rather than jewelry?
So we have also home decor products, which are like coffee tables, stools, pedestals. They can be stacked. Yeah. And we have a wine decanter where we combine glass blowing and 3D printing. And we have also fashion items. So we have jackets and dresses and things where we maybe look also into other technologies such as 3D printing on fabric. The Cite jacket, for example, which is inspired from a butterfly and where we 3D printed directly on fabric. It was a collaboration with Stratasys.
And Bowen's uniqueness aspect of this project, I see those colors, as you mentioned, you're inspired by butterfly. And also you somehow mentioned about something about the materials was so much unique that Stratasys was able to 3D print it. What do you think was the most innovative aspects of this project?
The most innovative aspect was that it was literally the first product where we utilized 3D printing on fabric. So there was no other project existing before that like it. So we did some studies in our atelier where we 3D printed on tool and 3D printed sticks on it. And I realized that with this method of just punctually printing onto the fabric, you can limit the material usage because you don't have to use any support material because the geometry is very simple. But because Stratasys has the multicolor 3D printing technology, you can print all of these sticks, or I call it Cite, like the bristles of the butterfly. You can print them in thousands of different of co- colors. And so when it then moves with the fabric, it has this really beautiful effect. The other part, which was very unique about it, was we literally took microscopic photographs of the butterfly and then translated that into an algorithm which can read all these colors. And there was a kind of cross bridge, because before I designed everything in 3D. And in this case, I designed something which was first in 3D and then needed to be unrolled, flat rolled, to then be 3D printed onto the flat surface, later on assembled again. So there's this kind of dialogue between moving from two dimension to three dimension back to two dimension. And that's very unique, because in fashion design, traditionally, you would take a flat fabric and then you would cut it into patterns, seams, and then kind of attach it back together. When you work with 3D printing technology, you don't have any of these seams anymore. You can kind of rethink the entire product. It can become totally different.
And also, does it become, after 3D print, does it become one piece, or do you 3D print and then connect parts together?
Sometimes, like the, for example, the crown for Black Panther was all printed in one piece. And some of the dresses, the hybrid holism dress, was printed in two parts being connected. Some dresses were made in 13 pieces. I have the Arid dress, which was a collection of 38 pieces. So all kinds of different approaches using the technique. And I think one thing what's very special about my work is that I not often repeat the design. I always design for a new technology. So, for example, I collaborated with Swarovski on 3D printed glass technology, but then I designed something specifically for that technology. So my designs all look slightly different, but they always, what ties them together is this kind of enigmatic effects about organic design.
What are you inspired from this Aris?
The Arid dress was actually inspired from salt crystallizations found in the Dead Sea in Jordan. That's the name of Arid comes.
So Kais was involved as well?
Oh, of course. Kais is involved in many of my projects. Has been involved in the project with Chanel, in Black Panther, in the Arid dress, in many, many projects. And JK3D is our brand, so we're running this together. We are both co-founders of it. So one thing which you know, because you know all the tools and the software, right, is complicated discipline in terms of like being professionally working with computational design needs a lot of skill set to then implement it into reality as well. And so for me, it has been always very hard to find people to work with who have the knowledge of these tools. When I say we, usually it was Kais and myself working on this project. And then we had a few people who worked with us in Los Angeles. And right now we have a team of four in Vienna. One great thing about Vienna is also there's a lot of really talented graduates and most recent students from the University of Applied Arts, which have exactly this talent. So I love working with people from Vienna.
The people we hire in the company, we also require them to know about computation, parametric, because they're also going to write about those projects. For example, they need to follow the news from different designers, what kind of work they're presenting, what kind of manufacturing techniques. And it's very crucial for our platform. These people know, first of all, know, and second, follow the certain kind of people who work on these projects. So that's totally same for us.
One person you might know who works with me, Emma Sanson.
I know Emma.
Yes.
She contributed to our CDNX conferences, and she's quite talented. Yes. Yes.
So she has been working with us since 1 year, and she's now working with us full time, and she's extremely talented. So it's amazing to see how the University of Applied Arts over the last 20 years has kept up with the kind of speed and the talent and kind of education. And so that's an exciting thing for me, having graduated from university and then like 12 years later, see how it still continues to have great graduates coming out of the school.
And also you work on the it's like architectural skills, like 3D Estella.
Oh, yeah.
Project, the columns, they are 3D printed. How do you find the integration of 3D printing with architecture scale?
I find it extremely difficult because when we did the 3D Steeler project, it was a public art installation where I actually wanted to 3D print it on a large scale with a company outside. And the quotes in the United States, which I got for printing these, were way beyond any budget which could have been possible. So we looked into CNC milling it with a 5-axis milling machine, and that would have been within our budget. And then the pandemic came and all the fabrication shops closed. The deadline for our installation was still on because it was a public art installation outdoors. So the deadline just slightly moved, but essentially we still had to produce it. And that was a moment when I said to Kais, let's try to see what we can 3D print with our printers. Maybe we can print it in sections. And it turned out it was possible. So we 3D printed the whole pieces in our studio and assembled it. It was a fraction of the price.
How many 3D printers do you have?
Between Los Angeles and Vienna. In Vienna, we have about three, four, and then
these are large scales.
Yes. And then in LA, we have also about 5-6 3D printers. And they are all different technologies. FDM technology, we have SLA technology, we have clay printers, we have smaller FDM printers. In Vienna, we have a very big 3D printer with FDM. Multiple different ones. And we use depending on which project. And then we have many different partners who we work with if we want to produce on a higher level with film industry or fashion houses.
So you 3D printed these columns as one piece or?
No, actually it was between 4 or 5 pieces. Yes. Hollow inside, no support material, super lightweight. It was really exciting and kind of led to the idea of the Lamella series, which we are now producing as a product.
What kind of softwares are you mainly focused on? Is it just Grasshopper do you use any other things like these new tools, Houdini or other than Grasshopper, anything that you use?
Yes, for the last 15 years, we have used many different softwares. I usually don't just work with one in the workflow. I combine multiple different softwares. So we do work a lot with Rhino and Grasshopper, but we also do work with polygon modeling techniques, softwares, and Blender, Maya, and so on. Some work most recently with Houdini. I have one person in my office in Vienna, Oliver Hammerdinger. He is really amazing with Houdini. And we have one research ongoing where we work a lot with this platform too.
But you're mostly personally focused on Grasshopper.
Mostly Grasshopper, yes, and really also polygon modeling techniques. Mm-hmm.
Who's the most inspired designer or brand that you have worked with?
I think the most inspired.
You admire their work as well.
Yes, the most inspiring person was definitely Ruth Carter, the costume designer I worked with for Black Panther. What she did in terms of contributing to Afrofuturism in the Black community and how she kind of had an impact on the change of the perception of what can be done with costume design was incredible to follow along. The whole film started as a collaboration where Kais and I literally had no idea that we were working with Marvel. All we knew was that we were collaborating with Ruth Carter. We kind of through the conversations got to know Ryan Coogler, and then our contact was also Philippe Boutti, who was an illustrator on the film. And we were working with a Hollywood costume department where we developed all the pieces. And until I would say the very last moment, shortly before they started filming, then I learned about the actress. They casted the actress and I got to have her measurements because I had to.
You had to see.
Yeah, and I had to adapt the generative algorithms to her sizes. So everything was designed already. And then I got her circumference for the head. I got the measurements for the shoulder piece. And because everything was set up in Grasshopper, we could easily adapt the costumes to fit that character and 3D printed within 2 weeks. One thing that was really exciting was we we set up all the algorithms of the costumes beforehand. And then when once we received the measurements of the actress, we were able to kind of adapt them all automatically because it was all set up in Grasshopper to kind of work that way. And so we were able to adapt it and then 3D print it in a matter of 2 weeks. So the design was already all finished. And that time we learned for who this is and for which film. And, you know, Marvel was really well known, but I myself, I wasn't necessarily a Marvel fan. I didn't know so much about the films they had done before. And then as they started laying out the film, the trailer came out, and then the pre-sale of the film was sold out 2 months before, like all the cinemas, you couldn't get any tickets anymore. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. It was the first film we worked on. Nice. And it turned out to be so successful. And then it was nominated for 7 Oscars. And then Ruth Carter won one Oscar.
Yes.
And she was the first African-American woman to win an Oscar in this category. So working with her was not only an inspiration because she's super talented, but also to see what impact this can have on a larger scale. When you work on a film, many more people get to see it. It's very inclusive. While a fashion show in Paris is very exclusive. It's like only 100 people maybe see it. And then, of course, through the media, it gets published, but the experience is very different. So that was definitely the most inspirational contribution.
I'm not sure if you have heard about in recent tales about AI emerging with the design. I know many designers are using their softwares, not software, let's say platform, it's not quite software, DALL-E or Midjourney. Mm-hmm. Have you used any of these platforms?
I personally haven't. My team has explored it a little bit. One thing what I noticed, especially over the past few weeks, is that there's something very interesting happening with Midjourney, especially. When I scroll through my social media, I can already see which one is by AI and which one is a normal photograph, because Midjourney has brought an aesthetic with it, which is identifiable. And it is kind of really interesting because when you look at Rhino, Maya, all of these software platforms in the past, they have really shaped certain aesthetical features. And so when I look at the utilization of AI in this method, how architects right now are using it, it's kind of shaping a new aesthetic approach. And maybe it could be very interesting to explore that three-dimensionally, because of course, everything what it's produced right now is only 2D. Then you would again use some kind of 3D modeling technique to mimic what the AI does, unless, and for sure, in the next couple of years, we will see AI on 3D as well. So I find it interesting. I also wonder what it does. It depends on what images are in this, as used as the source material. I would be very interested to feed the AI my personal work and see if it is capable to reproduce something in a similar
style. Have you tried create a custom design with the style of Julia Korner? Have you tried it? I typed my name. There was nothing found.
Yes.
Because I'm not a designer, you know. No,
that's a great idea. I'm going to try it. I will let you know.
My phone is right there. We can try it right now, actually. But my phone is there. But yes, definitely there are many, many, it depends on the contents out there about one topic as well. Definitely there are many contents about you on social media, on Google.
Mm-hmm.
They're also checking the Google data as well. Mm-hmm. Just have something that to see if it brings something or not.
I think one thing, and beyond AI, which I personally really interested is the kind of virtual realm of 3D design. So we're doing a project right now where we look into virtual fashion and kind of the relationship between virtual and physical. So kind of there are Like when you look at the Aridress, for example, there were so many technology partners involved and so many different softwares used to create the workflow from 3D to 2D to the actual manufacturing. And I'm personally really interested what's the difference between the virtual and the physical? Because in the virtual, you can use animation, you can use moving elements, everything around the body can essentially move.
Yeah.
And in the physical, you try
it's
to
just really limited.
It's limited. Yeah. So, but how do you design something? For example, you create something virtually and you pause and that one you print out, or you pause and that next one you print out. So you can then with 3D printing generate mass customization, personalization, and unique designs, which you with any other technology cannot really do because you put so much money into the machining of molds, things like
exactly. No, that's right. Mass customization, personalization, big data.
Yes.
They're just amazing topics. What inspires you in daily life?
I'm inspired by nature every day. So I love going out on the beach. I love going to the forests. I love going to museums which collect natural artifacts. The Museum of Natural History is my favorite place in Vienna. I love going there. And the nature has so much to offer, which I think as designers should look more towards that, because there's so much we can learn from it, not only from the growth process, from the materials, from the kind of distribution of weight, from the distribution of colors. There's so much intelligence in natural systems, which we could learn a lot. Like I would love to see a house growing on its own. Like, how could we do that? And I think 3D printing technology brings us quite close, because with it, we can use monomaterial when we use just one material. And with kind of geometrical distribution, you can have structure perform in this way there and in this way there by using just the same material. Like when you look at a tree, for example, how it grows from the flower to the leaf to the stem, it's all coming from the same material, but it has the distribution of different characters and performances in the same geometry, essentially. And so if we could learn from that and really rethink how we are using our resources, whether it's synthetic or organic, but how do we produce them? Maybe we don't need concrete anymore.
Exactly.
In the future.
Like the biological life has been evolved billions of years, and it's all natural, and I've never seen a unique shape of like rectangular or let's say a solid material becoming some object, but definitely
soft materials,
yes, but definitely the idea of growing a house is also something that could be very inspiring for very inspiring topic for the next generation to
or like how we cool buildings, right? So everything is mechanically driven right now, but couldn't buildings be like sponges which breathe and filter air? Or could we learn something from how corals filter water? Like I think there's so much
to learn from.
Yes. As designers and architects, I see the future in collaborations with scientists, biologists, chemists.
So what do you think about our platform?
I really like your platform because it kind of brings together a lot of people across the whole world, like internationally, to share their ideas and thoughts. But it also gives a platform for discourse, because our discipline wouldn't exist if it wouldn't be for discourse. And I feel I feel like there's so many different discourses in architecture, whether you like discourses between different academic schools, discourses between professionals. Actually, there's a huge gap between academic and practice. And I feel like one thing what your platform has to offer, it showcases different things happening across the world. And kind of, it's almost like an encyclopedia.
Yes.
So it's like you go in there and you find different architects, different designers, different buildings. But with a kind of relationship, because bringing them together about the tools, right? Like, what tools do we use? What are the aesthetics outcomes of that? And I think it would be really fantastic to even discuss this more. Like, I think one thing what I always teach my students is that when they hear parametric design, they think it's a certain aesthetic associated to it. And when I then show them work what Kais is doing, for example, on the NFL stadium, where the entire roof is also parametrically designed, generatively designed, but not necessarily related to the aesthetic, it's really eye-opening for them, because it's all about optimization, making our workflows faster, utilizing the capacity of computational design in an intelligent way.
Exactly. Thank you so much. My last question, other than that, is going to be so hard, and you just missed the flight. So what is your advice that you would like to share with young designers and young students, let's say young professionals?
One thing what everyone always tries is to do things what all the others are doing. One piece of advice is to do the thing you are personally most interested in and you believe. Like, you need to find something which you're very passionate about. And it's about the passion will drive you to success. So I think that those people who I know who have been most successful, they have found something they really wanted to work 24 hours every day on it.
Say.
And exactly, I'm looking at the one of them. And really had a dream to make this happen. And I remember when I was at the Angewandt and I spent all my pocket money and all my time in the 3D printing world. Everyone was like making fun of me. They were like, oh, look, she's like full of white powder. Why are you spending all your money on this 3D printing technology? And I really believe that this is the future. I really believe that this, the power of translating directly digital to physical, was a fascination for me. And so I really believed in that. And I think that was the continuous drive which made me want to do more projects in this direction. And I just really found my way. I found myself a niche in which I was able to pioneer in a lot of ways.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Julia. It was such a nice discussion and appreciate that. Thank you.
I like the conversation. I think it's, one thing what I really like about the platform, what you're doing, is that you also offer like young talent, like Emma, for example, to have a platform and visibility to show their work. And I think that's really great.
Exactly. We always look for those younger people who are trying to chase something and to show how passionate they are. We bring them to show their work, to give them a shout out, to see. And also they are teaching the new techniques and styles that they are bringing into the design world. That's also so inspiring for our platform, which those people also turn out to be teachers in our academy as well. I always look for people who have the new taste in design.
Yeah.
This is so important. Have a new energy in design.
Do you think your platform helps supports, like, for example, Istanbul, right? Okay, there's Melikus Tower, but is there does the public perceive this kind of aesthetic? Or like, how do, when they want new buildings? I had a conversation with her and she said it's challenging because people's mindset is different, right? So do you think your platform opens for the, not only for the architects, but also for the public?
Like, that's what we try to do, actually. It's, I compare this always with music, like hard metal music or heavy metal music. If maybe not most people like heavy metal, but they like light rock, light metal, like, one of the first groups who just made metal music style popular was Metallica, because they were doing light versions of it. And we always try to do the same. Like, there is very super highly complex computational algorithms mm-hmm. that generate these kind of buildings. And also there are normal people, they don't understand it. We try to close this gap and show what's possible with those complex styles, mm-hmm. complex tools to generate much readable mm-hmm. architecture, much readable style of design. And that's the entire thing that we never, for example, barely, not never, 95% we publish built projects, built costumes, let's say fashion design, built products. And 5%, they are the things that are in concept, but they are also buildable. They are quite good. They are good ideas, need to be promoted. So we're also trying to reduce this gap, make it popularized as well. I was speaking with Arthur Mamamani, mentioned him. He was in the show as well before. And he was mentioning that many of my clients that I see liking their posts, like our posts, because we make this knowledge available out there so they can understand what parametric design is. So when Arthur talks about 3D printing to a client, they know what is it. They know. They haven't. It doesn't happen that they don't have experience of these kind of things. So what we try to do is just popularize it to make it much more readable, much more understandable for normal people as well. If you think about Melike's Tower, at the first glance, what a normal citizen would tell to you, maybe he or she doesn't understand it. But when you start somehow to describe the project, see this is the different angles, the tower seems very fluid from different angles. You don't always see the same side. So these things bring up new kind of ideas to the people as well.
Nice. With the educational platform you have, do you think I see there's other educational platforms also in the virtual, like online educational platforms? Do you see that in the future, maybe there will be more people choosing to do that than go and study at a university?
Yes, exactly. What we do at the platform, at our PI Academy is to disrupt the structure that is built just for a university and bring it to outside people available for normal people as well. Let's say if you're an architect, you're 40 years old and you've been working the same kind of style last 15 years, but you need an update, but you don't want to go study at AA or you don't want to go study at SciArc or UCLA or Dianguante, but you need an update and you want to learn from Julia, but you can't access it. How I should learn from Julia? I should go to you.
Bring me a job now?
I'm offering a work, teaching a workshop. So we bring these kind of pioneering people like Arthur Mamamani, like we had Mariana Nuri Karim, we had Shajayan ZHCo team, Filippo Nassetti in our platform. And the students join and learn from these pioneers in 6 or 7 weeks of a short style of, let's say, studio workshops. We also allow the students to learn the software and also learn from the designer, the design methods, the architecture methods that they are using in their projects. So this is the entire theme that our academy is built on, also to show the new emerging tools, 3D printing, BIM, metaverse. And these are all the topics that we are mostly focused on. Space architecture is also very interesting for us. We had a quite good studio with Valentina Sumini. Mm-hmm. She was at MIT, now she's in Milan. So yeah, we bring these kind of people, and we are also offering you to join our academy, and we can do good collaborations for the let's say a studio workshop with Julia Cohen.
Sounds good. Okay.
Deal. Awesome. Great. Thank you so much, Julia. It was very nice discussion.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget to share your ideas about the future of 3D printing in our industry in the comments section. Also, tell us who would you like to see in our upcoming episodes. Please don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and also turn on the bell notification so you don't miss any new uploads.